For an inside look at the state's biggest footy league, it's the Monday Waffle.
Hello, my name is Jake Batrick. Welcome to the Monday Waffle, episode 6. Joining me in the studio today is Josie McDonald. Josie, welcome back. It's been a while.
Hey, yeah, it's really good to be back, actually.
And as always, the lovely Claire Dell. Claire. I'm going to call you Claire from now on.
Claire. It's a nice amalgamation of Claire and Dell. Let's go with it.
I'm so sorry. All right, Claire, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Jake?
Fantastic. Girls, we're going to kick straight into it. We had Anzac Day footy on Saturday. It was Perth Demons hosting East Perth Royals. Oh, God. Perth fans will be bitterly disappointed.
Thank God I got a game right this round.
Josie and myself, we're on track for more than one tip. You got zero last week, didn't you?
I've been doing okay the past few rounds, but last week that was bad.
No one expected last week.
No.
Anyway, East Perth just absolutely annihilated. Perth Demons, they beat him by 103 points. It was a four-goal first quarter, a four-goal second quarter, a five-goal third quarter, and a seven-goal final term from the Royals. They just absolutely obliterated them. Josie, you're taking care of the East Perth Royals. Who was the standout from them this week?
Well, the most impressive player of the match was easily Carl Anderson. Now, Anderson has been one of the Waffle's best defenders over his 68-game career, but in that time, he's only ever kicked one goal. So it's safe to say not much was expected of him going into the forward line on Saturday, but he had an outstanding game and made a huge contribution to their win. He nailed one goal on the run before quarter time and remarkably ended up with seven goals for the match with 23 possessions and 10 marks. Alec Waterman booted two majors from 24 possessions and Julian Amaduri also kicked two goals for the Royals. Paul Johnson absolutely dominated in the ruck. He had 23 disposals, 5 marks, 29 hitouts, 7 inside 50s and 2 goals as well. And then in terms of their midfield, they really just put pressure on the Demons. Freddie Clutterbuck racked up 26 possessions. Brendan Lee took 24, Stephen Payne 22, and Mark Hutchins 19 to go with his 9 tackles, 7 inside 50s, and goal in his first league match of the season after one game back in the reserves.
Yeah, Eagles fans will be pretty stoked. Mark Hutchins is back and up and going after that injury, so good to see him back on the park. Claire, in terms of Perth, were there any standouts this week?
Look, so we went down to the game, Jake and I, may or may not have left at halftime, seeing the signs of a bit of a whitewash there. It was really sad. There were so many Perth fans that showed up after last week's win. And they must have been disappointed. Look, I think we all need to acknowledge their captain, Dean White. He had 15 touches and 3 goals. He was forced to play because they had so many damn injuries. And, he did a really good job despite the fact that he was also injured. Perth have got 7 players already out with injuries. And last week, 4 more got injured in that game against East Perth. So, yeah, O'Sullivan, Brennan Stack, Joel Kalasic had this really nasty-looking blow to the head in the third quarter. And, Michael Sinclair, he went off in a lot of pain in the third quarter as well. Aidan Troppiano, he was my best on ground. He's just consistently great in the midfield. 38 possessions there. Louis McKenna, 32 possessions. But, there's not a lot you can take from that if you're a Perth fan.
It's just hard for Perth. They got a win last week. Their first win in nearly a year. They hadn't won since round 7 last year.
And they back it up with this.
I'm not a Perth
fans would have been gutted.
Yeah,
seeing
I know
that.
I would have.
It was
for sure.
An absolute annihilation.
Aidan Troppiano, he's had 200 disposals in 6 matches this year. So, coming over from East Frio, Perth will be stoked to have him, but he needs help, and having all these injuries certainly doesn't help.
No.
East Perth were just far too good for Perth.
They
just dominated from the outset. We may or may not have left at halftime.
We went down hoping to see the Demons put up a fight after last week's win.
Exactly.
They didn't deliver.
No, and it's been such a weird year of football. There's been upsets.
It's a bit unpredictable, isn't it?
It really has.
There's been upsets, there's been blowouts, and this was the first 100-point-plus blowout for the season, I think. God, let me fact-check that.
Hopefully the last.
hopefully the last. So.
Although if there has been another 100-point blowout, my money is that it was also the Demons.
Yeah. Who else could it be?
Anyway, girls, we'll look ahead for what both teams have in round seven next weekend. Both teams hosting, both teams have home games. So East Perth are hosting South Frio, and Perth are hosting the Lions. So, girls, do we think East Perth will get over the line against South Frio next week?
It's a hard one.
I think that's going to be a really good game.
Yeah.
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 I mean, looking at the fixtures, they're all good games. They're all really good games. Perth are hosting Subiaco, so that could...
Maybe not a good game.
Yeah, that could go the same way as it did this week for Perth fans. I guess East Perth... Well, for me, I think East Perth will get over the line against South Frio. Josie, do you think the same?
Yeah, I think I have to agree with you. I think that East Perth are hungry and they had a fantastic performance, so hopefully they can carry that through to the next round.
Yeah, they're in good form as of late. So, Claire, East Perth hosting South Frio, who do you reckon is going to get the chocolates?
I'm going to say South Frio.
South Frio, you reckon?
Yeah, I like the way they're playing. I think they're going to get this one.
All right, cool. Yeah, I think East Perth are playing better, so I'm going to go.
And if I have learned anything this year from you two wooden spooners, it's tipping against you two is probably a good idea.
Now, Perth hosting Subiaco, I think I can speak for everyone here that
I'm tipping Perth, 100%.
You're going to tip Perth?
No, I'm not.
But remember, we don't want to be too cocky because remember what happened to Nicole.
True. Yes. Very true.
I also think the Lions will get over the line. Josie, I think you're going to say the same thing.
Yeah.
Beautiful, yeah. Anyway.
Come on, disagree. Make it interesting.
I know, but it's Perth. I don't want to take a gamble.
It would make good radio, but... Yeah, I don't think we couldn't. So anyway, it's going to be interesting to see how those two games pan out next week.
You're listening to the Monday Waffle.
For everyone listening out there today, we have a very special treat for you guys. In the studio, we have Adam Papalia from 6PR and Fox Sports. And on the phone as well, bit of radio magic, we have Neroli Meadows, also from Fox Footy. Guys, how are we going?
Really well, thank you.
Beautiful.
Very well, thank you. This is a very strange experience.
It is. It's so many flashbacks to, 10 seasons ago, I guess we'll call it. It's making me sound very, very old. But 10 seasons ago when we were sitting in your seats and, getting the Monday Waffle off the ground.
That's
so
right.
It's making me feel very old and very uncomfortable.
So for those of you that don't know, Adam and Neroli started the Monday Waffle when they were Whopper students, just like us, 10 years ago. Is the 10th anniversary season of the Monday Waffle.
That's right. And Adam and Neroli, who is responsible for the idea? Who's going to take the credit? Or was it more of a joint decision?
Should I jump in first?
You go, Nez.
This was the eternal question as to who was going to speak first. It was usually Neroli.
I think I came up with the idea and you came up with the name. Is that right?
I thought it was the other way around.
Was it? I honestly don't know. This is how old I am that I actually don't know. I just remember that Paps and I got along really well to start with, and we both were the two in the class that really liked sport. And so we looked at all this state-of-the-art equipment around us and said, we may as well use it. You call and I'll do the interviews. And then we came up with the name The Monday Waffle. So it's good that you guys are keeping it going strong.
Well, Neroli and I were the first ones here on day one, like Uber nerds of the first day of Whopper. And we were the first two that bumped into each other. And we obviously had a love of sport. So back then, I don't know if it's still the case, but we used to actually have Mondays off. The course, so we thought, well, actually, let's come in and let's do something and use this equipment. And, podcasting back then was not really done. Or
we were one of the first in Australia.
Yeah, exactly. We're breaking new ground, Nez. but it was sort of a different thing. And to get our heads around actually the technical side of things, actually posting it to the internet, recording it and all that sort of thing was good. We had a bit of help, obviously, behind the scenes. But, we were breaking new ground, Nez, and trying to find something. There were so many people, I guess, doing AFL stuff. We realised that we could actually go to Waffle Games and report on it, and there was a bit of a spot there that we could fill. And the Footy Commission got on board as well, which was great. So we had their support. It got posted on the Waffle website, and it just sort of grew from there.
Now, was it the first sort of Waffle news preview result sort of show, in WA at the time, or was it more of a fact that you just wanted to learn the skills and, get something out there? So you're learning at the same time while also producing a really cool thing that really no one had really done before?
It's a bit of both, because the waffle was always, obviously has always been popular in WA because it was around long before the AFL. So there were always shows that did previews and reviews and stuff. But as the AFL grew more and more popular, we definitely noticed a drop off since, we were kids of how much the waffle was covered, and definitely recognised, as Paps was saying, that there was a lull in, in that we could sort of take hold of that gap and get the support. And then we got a couple of high-profile players, Shane Berros at the time, and Woe Woden and stuff like these blokes that were coming back. So looking back on it, it's pretty amazing now, because we were doing interviews with Harry Taylor, who's now a premiership star with Geelong and one of the most highly rated defenders in the game. So, it was kind of fun to sort of do that and then watch the development go as well.
And I guess it was that access, as I sort of mentioned before, that really allowed us to do that, because with the AFL clubs, you can't really get near the players. You can't get too many interviews out of it. So to fill a podcast each week, it was great. Every Monday we were just ringing around trying to find numbers and calling different people to try and find contacts at different clubs just to be able to interview people. And we're ringing them while they're at work, basically, on a Monday, trying to find a time to lock them down. And sometimes we're here till quite late at night trying to get it all wrapped up and finished and edited and done. But the fact that we're able to actually go to the games, get a media pass, go to the games, watch everything, really allowed us to really grow our skills.
Now, the worst bit, though, was when Paps made me do commentary at the games, because I never wanted to be a commentator, and I'd get through about three sentences and then crack it, basically, and get the dummy and not do any more.
No, it was good. We'd take Morantz out, because sports commentary is everything I wanted to do. The main thing I wanted to do, and narrowly, thankfully, came out and supported me. So we'd sit on the hill out at the Waffle grounds, and I'd be commentating into a Morantz and recording that, and we'd cut up some of the highlights and play it back on the show, and I really don't want to hear any of those. but it was good. It was really good experience to sit there. It was tough. I mean, calling a game of waffle footy from the hill with people sitting all around you thinking, what is this peanut doing? It's quite intimidating, for one, and two, like, just A, calling waffle footy is pretty tough because you don't get to see a lot of the players. So it was really good training, for me anyway, to be able to do that and start to build my skills, and it led me to be able to call a bit of stuff on community radio just the year after that I finished at Whopper.
I'm Dennis Cometti. If I'm listening to the Monday Waffle, then you should be too.
The first of the two public holiday games was West Perth facing Swan Districts. An amazing game. The Falcons were 26 points down at the 15-minute mark of the final term and stormed home to kick 5 goals and grab the win. An absolutely amazing game, girls. Good to see my Falcons back on the winners list, so I'm pretty pumped for them. A really solid result for the Falcons. Josie, who played well for West Perth?
Yeah, I mean, both teams were coming off a loss and it turned out to be a really riveting match. From the Falcons, leading goal kickers were the two Matthews of the teams, Matthew Fowler and Matthew Johnson, who both kicked 3 goals. Luke Meadows had 2. Christopher Shannon, Michael Lowry, Corey Chalmers and their captain Jay Van Berlo also kicked a goal each. Shane Nelson and Rowan Kerr led the team in touches with 28 possessions. Chris Keenan absolutely killed it in the ruck with 49 hit-outs. And Drew Rode, considering he's a defender, did really well in this match because he managed to snag 22 disposals.
Yeah, interesting by Drew. He usually plays centre-half forward. He's kicked a few snags this year. So to see him down back and doing well is good. And I think the role of a swingman, so a bloke that can go forward and play back, he's got 2 strings to his bow, is definitely more prominent in the modern
Very
game.
Very valuable.
Yeah, so yeah. Really good to see that. But yeah, again, Shane Nelson had some help this week. I mean, in the loss against Subiaco a couple of weeks ago, he got 40-plus disposals. So really good to see he's getting some help. And I've noticed this year with the Falcons, when Shane Nelson gets a bit of help,
in the midfield, they tend to get the win. So that was awesome to see from them.
Yeah, I think it was just more of a team effort this week, and I think that's what got them over the
absolutely.
Line.
Absolutely. The Swans were unlucky, Claire, but who were the standouts from them?
Well, Jake, in the Battle of the Birds.
I know you've been wanting to get that in.
I'm so excited to say that. The Swans versus the Falcons, the Battle of the Birds. I mean, lots of good players. If you'd been watching that third quarter, 5 goals to the Swans, 1 to West Perth, man, you would have thought they were on the money there. My best player, Ryan Davis, 23 touches, 3 goals. Last year, he was the fairest and best for the Swans, and you can really see why. Matthew Rogers, 22 touches, 2 goals and 3 tackles, so he was playing really nicely defensively as well. Jake Newich, he had 2 goals, and he was also helping out in the ruck there with 15 touches.
Hit outs, rather.
My handwriting is appalling. Justin Simpson, 32 touches there. A really good game for him. And Matt Reggio, always good with 27 touches there. So, I mean, great team effort. Like, across the board, everyone was playing really well. And they were really unlucky to lose it.
Yeah, the Swans have been very much close but no cigar this season. just unlucky. Unlucky in a few games. But yeah, no, West Perth will be really happy with that result. There's a bit of a logjam towards the top of the ladder. A lot of teams on 16 points. Peel actually are on top, believe it or not.
Come on, Peel. Go Peel.
Go the Thunder. We should start a hashtag. I haven't thought of it yet because I'm not that clever, but we'll get a hashtag going.
Pray for Peel.
Pray for Peel. Absolutely. So having a look for the next week's games for these two sides, West Perth travel to Claremont Showgrounds to face the hapless Tigers at the moment. Girls, do we think West Perth's going to get the win? Or do you reckon the Tigers are going to turn their season around and get a win?
No, Jake. No,
well,
their
last home game was against Perth, and look what happened there.
Oh,
true.
If you've lost against Perth, how much further can you fall?
Pretty much. So, yeah, I think West Perth will get the chocolates.
God, we're being mean to Perth today.
I know.
Sorry, Perth.
When you win again, the tune will change.
If they can win 2 games in a row, maybe I'll change my tune. But until then... And then the Swan Districts are hosting Peel Thunder at Steel Blue Oval out there near Guildford.
I think the Swans will get it. They always perform well on their home ground.
Really? Oh, no, I'm tipping Peel. Well, they're top of the ladder. Hashtag pray for Peel.
Pray for Peel.
Yeah, look, interesting game. I think Peel will get the win. But having said that, I'm going to go for Swans.
Well... We'll see how that plays out.
Because every time I think a team's going to go there and win, they don't this year. So I'm tipping Swans because I don't think they can win.
Jake, very superstitious of you.
Yeah, I'm looking too much into it.
You're in your own head, mate.
I know. Anyway, so look, again, great games of football, and we're just going to have to see how they all pan out next week.
From the studios of ECU, you're listening to the Monday Waffle.
Peel Thunder have continued their best ever start to a season, beating Claremont by 27 points on Sunday. Peel captain Brendan Jones had a strong game with 28 possessions, and Fremantle Dockers forward Hayden Crozier looks set for a recall to the AFL after a very strong game managing 27 disposals, 7 marks and a goal. Jacob Ballard was the leading possession getter of the game, racking up 29, with good support from Connor Blakely and Tom Sheridan picking up 24 and 23 respectively. Second-year Fremantle player Alex Pearce did well in the back line, holding former AFL forward Kepler Bradley goalless and to just 9 possessions. Matthew Davies was the standout for Claremont, setting up play from halfback and collecting a tidy 23 possessions. Darcy Cameron played well up front, kicking 3 goals in the absence of big men Bo Meister and Mark Seabee. Ian Richardson worked hard from half forward, finishing with 19 disposals, 6 marks and a goal. After a tight first quarter, Peel got on top to lead by 46 midway through the last term. This would have had them leapfrog Subi into first spot on the ladder, but the Tigers finished strongly, kicking the last 3 goals, which puts Peel into second spot. This is Jesse Watkins for the Monday Waffle.
You're listening to the Monday Waffle.
If you like footy, you'll love us. It's the Monday Waffle.
Rightio, gang. Before we get stuck into everybody getting their tips out, that laugh you can hear is Mark Foreman. MIA Mark, they call him.
MIA Mark.
Nobody calls me that.
We call you that.
We call you
that. How would you know? You're never here.
Oh, Jesse's also rocked up. You'll hear him. You would have heard him earlier in the podcast.
Yeah, once in a blue moon.
You know why you would hear Jesse in the podcast? Because Jesse does the podcast.
Yes.
Oh, shots fired.
Like we all do. Now, Mark, you begged me to put you in the photo. Begged me to put you in the photo for the podcast.
I think beg's a strong word.
No, you begged me.
Okay.
And you haven't been here ever.
No.
Ever.
And you haven't tipped in 3 weeks.
To be fair, week one, my dog ate a rat poison. And so I couldn't come.
Mark, you don't even have a dog. Right? Let's just cut to it, okay?
Damn it! I thought I was getting away with that one.
Well, first week you've got an excuse. Week two, three, four, five, and six.
Week two,
your cat had
cat ate the rat poison.
Yeah. No, the cat ate the dog.
So that's why you don't have a dog anymore.
Correct. And then week three...
You have nothing.
You have nothing.
No. You are
mate, your excuses are much like your waffle contribution. Non-existent.
I'm feeling under a lot of pressure. I'm feeling very cornered here. I don't like the environment. It's not a good working environment.
Well, Mark, this is an intervention.
Yes.
You have one last chance to prove why we shouldn't fire your ass on the spot.
Now, we understand you can't be here every week to be part of the podcast, but Mark, you can tip. Okay, it goes into the
it's
Facebook.
Not that hard.
So what happened? I think you'll find I'm sitting. Is it second?
We haven't worked it out yet.
If you are, we're not,
and
happy.
I'm second last.
Yeah, no. So this is they call me the tipster. They just call me the tipster.
The tipster.
Do you do this in all the tipping competitions you're involved in?
He's
barely involved in this one.
You'll usually find me getting 4 out of 4 on the odd occasion. Like this week, apparently, you're going to give me 2, which I'm not...
Because you didn't tip and get the away teams, Mark. That's how it works in this industry.
I think the most important thing is when everybody else got 0 last week, I got 4. So yeah. I am, I have a lot to offer the team.
You do. So, Mark, this is your chance for redemption. We've got you here right now.
Yep.
You're going to do your tips for next week. Okay?
Yeah.
Are you prepared?
No, I'll save it for the day.
No, you're gonna do it right now. Claremont hosting West Perth. Do you know how many games Claremont have won this year?
Yeah.
How many?
Yeah, no, yeah, they have. They've been good.
You are shocking.
I didn't mean they've been good. I meant West Perth have been good. Claremont have been terrible, obviously.
Oh.
You know, we know that.
So what round did they win in then? What game was it?
What do you mean? I mean, they've won a lot of matches in their past. Like, they are a proud club.
2015, Mark.
Oh, you're talking specifically about this year.
often base my tips based on what's gone on in previous
years. Back in 2009.
Yeah, so I'll be going with West Perth, but...
good.
Yeah.
Okay, East Perth hosting South Fremantle.
Yeah, the Mighty Royals, as they sometimes call them.
Good man.
Oh, I hate them. But I'm just not.
All right. Well, we'll edit that bit out because you're an idiot.
Yeah. Why did I call them mighty? Who are they playing?
South Fremantle.
The old the Bulldogs.
The Bullies,
yeah,
yes.
The Bulldogs.
Surprised you knew that.
I would have probably. Well, you'd have to go with the old West Coast Seconds team, I think.
Yeah. And Perth hosting Subiaco.
The Mighty Demons. Yeah. Very good club, aren't they? They've been going well. They've won a couple. No, they haven't. They've won one. It
was
painful to see, particularly because, you know...
We've been harping on about it all year.
How long was it, Mark?
A very, very proud club, yeah.
Just to bring this back, what were we doing here? You're tipping.
Yeah, sorry.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
So were you going to tip Subiaco to beat Perth?
Who's playing for Subiaco? No, because they had all that hippie club drama. So I'm going to... I think that's just got right up them. So I'll go for Perth.
Can you repeat that? Did you just say you were going for Perth?
I'm
going
to go for Perth. I think...
Okay, good. Yeah. Yep, moving on. So we have that.
What's the last game?
Swan Districts.
Must be Peel. I haven't heard you say Peel. Yeah. Love Swan Districts. Mum's grew up in Swan Districts. And,
cool.
All right, mate. Don't need your family story.
Uncle goes to Swans.
Does your mum tip? Maybe we should get her on the show.
We should do, maybe.
Come on, mate.
Yeah, I'm going for, who were they playing?
Peel.
Peel and who?
Swans.
Oh Swans, God, Swan District.
Okay, done. Yep. Thank you, Mark.
That's okay.
Jeez, wow, that was like a slow train wreck, wasn't it?
I'll be winning.
If you're loving the Monday Waffle podcast, make sure you head to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Monday Waffle for more awesome content. And while you're there, give us a like.
As we're going to air tonight, the East Frio and South Frio game has just finished. The Sharks prevailing by 17 points over the Bulldogs. The Bulldogs kicked 4 goals in the first quarter to the Sharks 1. And then after that, it was all the Sharks kicking 7 goals in the second quarter. And the Bulldogs could never recover. So a good win for the Sharks there. So we've already done our tips for next week, guys. We'll just recap. So I think we've all tipped West Perth to beat Claremont.
Yeah.
Yep.
We've all tipped East Perth to beat South Frio.
Yes.
No, I tipped South Frio.
So Claire's gone the Bulldogs. We all tipped Subi to beat Perth.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Easy.
And you girls tipped Peel to beat Swans, and I said Swans will win.
No, I said Swans.
Oh, no, you said Swans as well.
Yeah.
Okay, ooh, so interesting.
Once again, I'm going out on my own.
Yeah, interesting. Mm. So this could actually be good for the tipping ladder, which is a great segue. because last week, Josie, you went from hero to zero. You say it.
I went from zero to hero.
You got 0 last week and 4 this week, so congratulations.
Yeah, I'm pretty stoked.
That moves you from dead last to second last, so good job.
Yay!
Yeah, Josie.
Slowly moving up.
We'll go from the top to the bottom. Josh is still on top. He widens his gap. He got 4 this week as well, so he's on 14 points. Jesse, Jared and Mark are all on 11 points, and then Claire, Nicole and Josie are on 10, and then me at the bottom.
What are you on, Jay?
9. So thereabouts.
You could get there.
I could get there. Look, as they say, it's a long season and a week is a long time in football, so anything can happen.
Anything can happen.
Swings and roundabouts.
Still early days.
That's pretty much all
Just to raise something, though, as we look at that tipping ladder, show of hands, are we firing Mark?
We'll give him 1 more week. Give him 1 more week.
You're too nice, Jake.
Yeah, I'm just a nice guy. I'm just
Josie,
a nice guy.
Should we fire him?
I don't know if we can make that executive decision, though. Yeah.
Anyway.
I want him out.
Yeah, I'm still
you just
want to
win the
raging that he got 4 the week that I got 0.
I know. Anyway, he's hopefully has learned his lesson, so hopefully he'll be involved with the podcast in the coming weeks. But anyway, girls, thanks for a great, great show. Jam-packed, as always, so thank you very much.
2 ladies on the panel this
week.
Yes.
Yeah. No one's acknowledged that yet.
Sisters. Okay.
Sisters are doing it for themselves.
Thank you, girls. And thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week on the Monday Waffle.
Thanks for listening to the Monday Waffle, proudly brought to you by the students from ECU Broadcasting.